The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. Hope you're all having a wonderful Sunday morning. We are here in the midst of January. It is cold out. You know, I was driving around the past week and I'm watching some of these people that are working outside in doing some of this construction work. There's a Chase Bank that's opening up over at the North Shore Mall. There's Lifetime Fitness that's going up. And these guys are out there in this freezing cold weather. And man, that has got to be one of the toughest jobs. I would not want to be there. And I'm thrilled that I'm here this morning in the nice warm studios here of North Shore 104.9 overlooking the North Beverly train station. No one seems to be out this early just yet, but I am here and I hope you're doing well. We provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. And I'm back here again for, I don't know what number episode this is, but it's our eighth year, I think, here at the station. And so nice to meet so many of you. Just so you know a little bit about our firm, my firm was started back in 1968 by my father, Barry Friedman. He dad started the firm back then in Peabody. It was in the basement of our house, actually. I was 2 years old at the time. And dad grew the business over about a 20-year period of time. He then was with a company called American Express. It used to be called Investors Diversified Services. It was American Express Financial Advisors, then Ameriprise. And in 1986 or 87, dad left that organization and joined a company called LPL Financial, where he became an independent financial advisor, which means no longer was he required to solicit or discuss what were called package products that were proprietary just to the investment company. He could be independent. He could offer any investments, any type of advice he wanted, financial planning advice, any way he wanted without the restriction of what the company was saying, here's what you need to sell. And it opened up this whole brand new way in which we could provide better service to clients. And I joined my dad in 1991. He had been about 5 years with LPL Financial. I learned the business from him. He mentored me for almost 2 years, gave my dad the confidence that he could start taking some time off. And he enjoyed that. He got to spend some more time traveling with my mom. And in 2007, my father retired and I took over the firm at that point. Marion Gilman had joined us in 2000, where she was a financial advisor as well. And we've become partners of the firm and it's been great ever since. So we are independent financial advisors. Many people will ask us, Mark, how does this whole thing work? How do you work with financial, how do you work with clients? Because there's so many financial planners and investment advisors and stockbrokers that are out there. Here's the deal. We are financial planners first. We want to understand where everything is in your financial life before ever offering a piece of financial advice to you. After all, you want us to be fiduciaries. We are a fiduciary. We are the financial advisors that place your interest first. In fact, we're committed to placing your interest first. That's what we do. And in order to do that, we need to know where everything is and what everything is worth. It's how it's all done. So think to yourself, if you wanted to get a financial plan done, if you wanted to know that someone was placing your financial interests first, I'll ask you this. Does the person with whom you're working, or if perhaps you're working by yourself, you're doing this on your own, do you know where everything is and what everything is worth? And could you easily produce a statement that showed, here's what I own, here's what I owe, here's who owns it all, meaning it's in a joint account, it's in an individual account, it's in an IRA account, it's in a 401k account, and do you have certainty on who the beneficiaries are on your accounts, on your life insurance, on your retirement accounts? Perhaps you have an annuity, or perhaps you even have an account that's called a TOD, a transfer on death, or a joint account, or a jointly owned item of property. Do you have all of those answers, and can you easily produce that? Do you know who you owe money to? Do you know how much and how long it will take for you to pay off all of those debts? Do you have all of that information? Because if you don't know that, how can you decide whether it makes sense to be an aggressive investor, a growth investor, an income investor, a conservative investor? You can't make those informed decisions until you know where everything is and what everything is worth. And that's how a relationship starts at Friedman Financial. You know, someone was in our office a couple weeks ago, and she said to us, Mark, getting all of this information together for the initial consultation was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. But now that I've done it, I just feel good that I know where everything is and what everything is worth. And this woman happened to spend some time and put it into a really nice binder and organize it all. That's not what everybody does, to tell you the truth. Most people go through this list when we send it off to you, and they just dump it into a big shopping bag, and they bring it to us, dump it on the conference table, and we help go through it, and we talk about that. But it's also more than just the data. You see, now that we have the data, now we can start to talk to you about your goals and your objectives. And, you know, everyone will say, you know, well, we want to talk to you about your goals. I bet one of your goals is to retire. I bet another one of your goals is to not run out of money. Well, those aren't goals as far as I'm concerned. Those are things that everybody wants to do. You know, everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants their children to be happy and supportive. Let's make some goals a little bit more realistic. When you say, well, I want to retire at 65, maybe that's what you're thinking about. I want to retire at age 65. Well, tell me why. Now, probably someone's never asked the question, why do you want to retire? Rather, they just go, okay, you want to retire at 65. Why do you want to retire at 65? And if you do retire, what does retirement look like? Think about that question. Think about the question, what does retirement look like? That means, what would you do if you walked away from work today? What would you do? And if your answer is, I don't know, that's not a great goal. Retiring at 65 isn't the solution, or 66 or 70. If you don't know what you're going to do next, that can be pretty dangerous. There's lots of studies that talk about how those who retire without any course of plans of anything really struggle, especially in the first few years, and even more so in years 4 and 5 and 6. You have to have some thoughts. What do you want to do? So some people will say, well, when I retire, I want to travel. I want to travel. All right, what does traveling mean? Tell me, so I'll ask the question, tell me how you're used to traveling. Do you travel by car? Do you like to take the train? Do you travel domestically? Do you just visit the New England states? When you travel, do you go to warm climate, cold climates? Do you like historical visits? Do you like to tour? What is it that you like to do when you travel? And when you travel, how do you decide where to stay? Is it the cheapest place you can find? When you're traveling by plane, is it the cheapest flight you can find? Or are you looking for conveniences? How do you manage traveling? And as you think about retirement, how do you think you might travel then? These are all important questions because they begin to help us understand what you want to do, what your aspirations are to spend money. These are all critical parts of placing your interest first in a financial plan. Because if we don't know the baseline information, if we don't know the fact that perhaps you have one child that's very well to do and one child that you need to provide a lot of financial support to, perhaps you're dealing with an aging parent. Perhaps you're thinking about having to move your parents from their home into a retirement community, and you're struggling with that. Perhaps you wonder, can we afford to send our children to college? And if we can, what colleges would be appropriate for them? No, I'm not going to pick the right college for you, but we'll certainly help you understand what you can afford to pay for college. These are all critical parts to a financial plan. So I ask you whether you're doing this on your own or whether you're doing this with your financial advisor today, are you having those thoughtful conversations? And notice through this entire dialogue today, I have not talked once about whether you should own a mutual fund, a stock, an exchange-traded fund, a bond, cash, any of these types of investments. Because that doesn't matter until you're clear on your goals and your objectives. That, my friends, is what is most important. It's a lot of stuff to think about. There are these things called paradoxes that have presented themselves, and they become, some people call them old wives' tales. But I came across a story written by, the gentleman's name is Adam Grossman. He's out of Massachusetts, actually, and he writes a column for a gentleman called Jonathan Clements, who used to be the personal finance column at the Globe. And Jonathan has created this website. It's called The Humble Dollar is what the name of his website is, if I remember this correctly. And he invites people like Adam to put some stories in here. Well, Adam wrote this story about the seven paradoxes, which is kind of like the old wives' tales. And it talks about some of the things that we think in our head that make sense as we think about managing money and managing our financial life. But in reality, it's probably not the best guidelines to take. I want to share some of those paradoxes with you. And I'm going to do that. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm going to share what he calls his seven paradoxes of investing and want you to give some thought to this to say, hey, maybe I'm subject or thinking about some of these things a little bit differently. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Hope you're all doing well this Sunday morning. We are here in our, I think it's eighth year doing this on North Shore 104.9, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. I wanted to talk to you this morning about something called the seven paradoxes. It's a story that was written as a kind of a blog that was written by a gentleman by the name of Adam Grossman, who's a financial advisor in the Massachusetts area, actually. I had actually contemplated having him on the phone this morning, but thought, you know, I just read this story the day before, and so I thought, well, I'll just kind of give him a plug about the story that he wrote. It's in a blog called The Humble Dollar. If you subscribe to The Humble Dollar, it's written by Jonathan Clements, who used to be the personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Jonathan writes some great stuff, and then he finds some guest bloggers and guest columnists to join his newsletter. So I want to really share this one because it really resonated with me. Adam talks about, he leads the story by talking about this wonderful investor and one of the brainchilds kind of our industry, a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Graham, who has been known as the father of modern investment analysis. He's written some amazing books, which a lot of people that really are into the details and the analytics of investments, not something that I'm really into, to tell you the truth, that they read and they just follow his lessons because they're timeless. Some of the pieces of advice that he has to offer. But a lot of it is extraordinarily technical, and that's not what we want to do here on this radio show, because we're all about financial advice in a language you can understand, not what a bunch of academics can understand or a bunch of, number crunches. We want to talk to you. We want to give you advice in a language you can understand. But he did say this. This is an interesting quote from Ben Graham. It says, an investor's chief problem, even his worst enemy, is likely himself. I think you all know that intrinsically. We all know that sometimes we are our own worst enemies. It's so much easier to point blame at somebody else. I think we spend a lot of time pointing blame at whether it's the weather or at the president or at taxes or pointing it at somebody else's problem. But we can all be in control of our own problems. And so let's bring this into the fold of what it means to be our own worst enemy when it comes down to investments. You see, we'll get calls. It's very common to be at a cocktail party or for me to get a call from someone that says, hey, I just heard about this stock or that stock. I don't know, Tesla or Dunkin' Donuts or, I don't know, Buffalo Wild Wings. Doesn't really matter. Just, I've heard about this stock or I heard this is going to do really well or I heard this information that says this stock's really going to take off. And they ask, do you think it makes sense for me to buy it? And my answer in all cases is I have no idea. Because I think buying individual stocks is a loser's venture. Now, that is really hard for me to say that and for you to accept that since the market has just gone up, it feels like, for the past 10 years. It feels like a monkey could have thrown darts at a list of all the stocks that are out there and made money over the past 10 years. But folks, when we think long term has to run more than 2 years or 5 years or even 10 years. We have to make this money last for our lives and we have to make this money managed properly. But we can't avoid the fact that we hear this great paradox that it says that the people who have made the greatest fortunes are names like the Carnegie family, the Rockefeller family, the Buffetts, the Gates of the world. Now, how did they make their money? They made their money by owning one stock. They own their money. They made their money by owning one stock. They are the richest people in the world because of their investments and ownership in one stock. So does that mean that you should try to pick a stock or two or three or five and figure, well, if they can do it, I can do it? Look, each of those people went through ups and downs. But ultimately, they hung on. They invested in themselves. They invested in people. They invested in processes and a great product. And they continued to emerge out. You don't have the ability to do that. As an individual stock investor, you are not an active participant in the ability to make movements of the stock price or the value of the company. You are simply a passive investor that is riding on hopes and dreams. I think it's fascinating that we talk about wanting to buy the next great stock, whether it's Amazon or Google or Apple or whatever it could be, whatever you think it could be. But we know, and I know, that the best advice we could ever offer to you or to your family or to collections of people is to do just the opposite. It's not to buy an individual stock, but rather to own a broadly diversified collection of stocks, which is generally captured in an index fund, in a mutual fund, in an exchange-traded fund. Because you as an individual don't have the ability to take those risks. You're not actively involved with the company. You don't know what's going on. Look, if you've just followed the charts of what a stock like Tesla has done over the past couple years. Yes, Tesla has had a nice run over this past year, but that run didn't look so good the year before. And it's been rocky. And Elon Musk has had, has been in interviews with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He's had all sorts of publicity and public relations issues. His stock has gone up and down. Well, you might like the cars he makes or the rocket ships he's building, but are you willing to hang your hat on the uncertainty of what might come out of Elon Musk's mouth every day? I know that I wouldn't want to be advising my clients on that. If you want Tesla to be something that's important to your, what you believe is the future of your portfolio, I would much rather you find a mutual fund, a portfolio manager of a mutual fund, who believes that that stock should be one of many stocks in a portfolio. for a variety of reasons. Number one, it will give you diversification. You'll own hundreds of different stocks. But number two, chances are this portfolio manager is buying a million shares of a stock or 100,000 shares of stock. And when they're putting up that much money and knowing that the investments that they're making is on behalf of a whole collection of shareholders, they are far more likely to make visits to these companies, to talk with management, to talk to the competitors, to look at the lines, to see what is going on in the business, to understand the numbers, where you and I are sometimes making a decision based upon, oh, I heard that stock's pretty good, or Cramer said that sounded pretty good, or a friend of mine has made so much money in this stock, I should buy it. Folks, this is one of the giant paradoxes that exists in America. We bet on buying a stock or two, and because of we've heard of the great fortunes of Dale Carnegie and the Rockefellers and Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and so many others, that we neglect to realize that money, that wealth for the typical American is made by owning a diversified portfolio of investments, an asset allocation that aligns with your personal overall goals. I always find it fascinating when someone will say to me, Mark, you know, I've been a CD investor all my life, but I've been thinking about maybe investing in Apple or in Facebook. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're coming out of an environment where everything was guaranteed. They said, yeah, but the interest I'm getting on my money is so poor. And look how good some of these stocks have done. And I'm like, folks, stocks can go down just as quickly as they can go up. And I think it's very, very, very important that you understand that there is a lot of risk associated with owning one individual stock. Here's another paradox. Here's another paradox that I always find interesting. Here we are sitting with a stock market that's closing in on 30,000, a Dow Jones Industrial Average that is closing in on 30,000 points. In March of 2008, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was in the 6,000s, not in the 30,000s, in the 6,000s. Thousands. Now, what was its high before that? It was around 11,000 was where the high was before it dropped to in the 6,000s. Then it came back up and it shot right past 11 and it went to 14 and then it went to 18 and then it came back and it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I remember people saying in October of 2008, or actually March of 2009, I wonder ever in my lifetime if I'll ever see the stock market recover from the 6,000 level that it's at to where it was at 11,000. Well, not only have they seen that come back in their lifetime, they have seen so much more. But here's the paradox that exists. The stock market today may appear overvalued, and yet it could even become more overvalued before it declines. And when it does decline, and it will decline, it may be declining to a level that is even higher than where it is today. So what does overvalued really mean? And why are we so scared to invest in the stock market today? I think that's a very fair question. A lot of people will say, some people are saying, well, market's just going up, I'm going to invest in it now. And others will say, well, maybe we should wait for the market to pull back a little bit before we invest. Think about this. If the market's, say, at 29,000 right now, and I don't know where the market's going. You don't know where the market's going. None of us do. But let's say the market is at 20, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is around 29,000. Let's say it goes to 35,000. And you're already thinking today, oh my gosh, this market is very overvalued. And it goes to 35. And now it's at 35,000. You go, man, this thing's really overvalued. And what if it now pulls back 10%, 10% from the 35,000? You know where that takes us to? About 31,500. It's a pullback of 3,500 points. And you go, oh my goodness, now should I be scared? Well, wait a second. You're now higher than where we were today, even though we've been dropped back 10%. Folks, if you're going to invest in the stock market, if you're going to build a portfolio that's designed to incorporate stock market investments, you need to be investing for the long term and not worry about the day-to-day, month-to-month, even year-to-year fluctuations. You know, it's hard to believe that despite the fact that the typical 60-40, 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market portfolio, did somewhere between 15 and 20%, depending upon how you had your money invested last year in 2019. Yet that same portfolio in 2018 actually had a negative return. So if you now say, all right, well, we did 18%. I'm using this hypothetically. We did 18% in 2019, and I had, let's even call it a 0% return in 2018. Your average return over the past 2 years was 9. And you might think, wow, that's still pretty good. Well, what if you incorporate in 17? What if in 2017 that portfolio only did 4%? So that's 4% in 2017, 0 in 2018, and 18% in 2019. So 18 plus 4 is 22. You divide that by 3, and that gives you a little bit better than a 7% average rate of return. We have to keep looking at much larger numbers. When you're taking a look, when you're looking at your performance of your portfolio, or when your advisor is giving you performance numbers, what are they based on? Is it a one-year number that you're looking at? Is it a three-year average? Is it a three-year cumulative number? Is it a five-year, 10-year? What kind of performance numbers, real performance numbers, are you getting on your portfolio? Folks, I think a 60-40 portfolio, it's my opinion, a 60-40 portfolio that's invested in mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, that's well-balanced and rebalanced on a regular basis, should over time generate somewhere between 6 to 8% return. That's what I would think to be looking for. And I think moving forward, to tell you the truth, it could even be closer to 5 to 7. So that means that if last year you got 18% on your money, what's the likelihood for you to more average into that 5 to 7, 6 to 8% in the years to come? We need to be prepared for that, but we also need to be prepared that we need to be participants in the market and not worry about the day-to-day fluctuations. There will be great years, there will be poor years. But over time, if you stick to it, if you keep your head down and just invest in quality and leave the quality selection of stock picks to portfolio managers, you are going to do, I believe, exceptionally well. All right. We've got a bunch more paradoxes. I just gave you two of the seven paradoxes that I wanted to share with you, written by a gentleman by the name of Adam Grossman, that I wanted to share on our show today. We've got to take a quick break. Before we go, though, let me remind you about Planning Pointers. It's our weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website. Put in your name, your email address, and that's pretty much it. If you want to send me a little message, you want to type me a question, you want to sign up for our newsletter, you want to sign up for the newsletter, you want to schedule a free initial consultation, all of that stuff you can do on our website. Just sign up for the newsletter. I think you'll really like it. More than 7,000 people subscribe to this newsletter, and we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. I think you'll really like it. We've got to take a quick break. When we're back, more paradoxes of investing to discuss with you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription season kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie. The high-octane, Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. Then get ready to be swept up in our magical family production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
It's possible.
This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And the hysterical sci-fi camp classic, Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical, Kinky Boots. Become a five-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street in Peabody. We have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, a long time. My dad started the firm almost 52 years ago. April of 1968 is when Dad started this thing. Who knew that 52 years later, Dad would soon be retired? Actually, he's been out of the business for 13 years now. My business partner, Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on the show. In fact, I think she was on with us last week. has been with me for almost 20 years now. And the two of us run Friedman Financial. We are a small financial planning shop. Though we do have 450 households, we manage close to a half a billion dollars. But we provide financial planning advice to all 450 of those households. So yeah, we manage the money. But there's so much more to managing the money, especially when it comes to financial planning. Perhaps you're wondering to yourself, when should I take Social Security? Maybe you're approaching retirement and you're thinking to yourself, where will I take money from to support my lifestyle over and above the Social Security or the pension I might receive? Does it make sense to work part-time? Or even if I do want to work part-time or even full-time in retirement, what money do I have to take? What money don't I have to take? What withholding should I have? Should I participate in an IRA? Should I convert to a Roth IRA? What about long-term care? What about the proper insurance coverage that I need? Homeowners, automobile, disability, life insurance? Am I having the right withholdings done from my pay stubs? All of these are important questions that you're asking that relate to personal finance. But what I find more often than not is the fact that many financial advisors focus just on the investment piece. Folks, if you're going to have real financial planning, if you want someone to act as a fiduciary for you, you need somebody that's going to look at the big picture. They're going to consider the fact that maybe you're still helping your children out a little bit with some of their expenses. Or perhaps you need to help out mom or dad or your aging parents. Maybe it's helping them move from their home into a retirement community. Maybe you have responsibilities to other folks, or maybe there's other financial pressures that are on you that weigh into a lot of the decisions that you have. All of those are important issues. Taxes, insurance, estate planning, all of the retirement planning decisions. Cash flow. Where's money going? How are you spending it? Will you have enough money for the rest of your life? You know, I think one of the biggest fears that people have when it comes to money is running out of it. And I can comfortably say that the clients that we see never put themselves in a position where they run out of money. Now, they understand that they may be coming close, or they may have to change their spending habits sometimes, but it never comes as a surprise. What I find amazing, though, is the number of people that think, oh, I'm not going to live past 85. I would not plan on a strategy that has your money running out at 85. The chances of you living longer than that are far greater than you might imagine. And with every day that passes, every month, every year that passes, the likelihood of you living longer is even more likely. So we have to think appropriately. We have to understand that inflation happens. The costs of goods go up, and our lifestyles have changed. Think back to 10, 20 years ago. How often did you go out for dinner, and how often did you get takeout food from restaurants? How often did you have food delivered beyond a pizza delivery guy to your house? The way we spend money and the way we do things today is far different, and we're willing to pay for those conveniences. Look, when you go out to eat, and even when you have food delivered, you're paying a convenience fee, and it's not just the tip. It's the fact that you're paying for somebody else to do it for you. We are living busier and busier and busier and busier lifestyles. And why is it, I often find, why is it if we're so busy and what we want to do, we sit down, we finally crash on the couch and our partner's with our spouse is there, the kids are hanging out, and we sit on the couch and what do? We pull out our phones and we sit there quietly staring into our phones. I think things have changed. We've gotten away from learning how to have extended conversations with people. Everything has to be sound bites. Everything's short and sweet because we're always interrupted by something else. We don't know how to have intense conversations. You know, people would say, I love to take walks on the beach. Remember that in all these dating commercials, it used to be, oh, you know, I love to go for walks on the beach. Well, how many people go for a walk on the beach without their phone? It's a different experience when you walk on the beach without your phone, isn't it? And you couldn't imagine being without your phone in many cases. Now, I'm thinking about walking on the beach, and it's like 17 degrees outside, so not very likely to happen today. But think about that. Are we becoming more obsessed with our phone and we're not engaging in conversations? If we stayed home and made our own dinner and engaged with each other as we were preparing it, and maybe even avoiding watching YouTube videos and tasty videos to figure out how to make it? What if we just winged it and laughed and made some mistakes and made a mess? I think it's funny that when we watch TV sometimes, the old TV shows would used to do that, and we just don't do that anymore. I think we need to get back to really connecting with one another as people. And I actually think you'll find ways to start saving money. I know that many folks, as they get older, they find that they are doing less things and they want to have more of those conversations. And we're finding ourselves that, you know, we're just too busy to have them. And I think that's unfortunate. We need to find ways to do that. All right. When I last left you, we were talking about these seven paradoxes of investing. It's some of these rules of thumb or words and expressions that we've heard in the industry about how to be successful at investing, yet they really don't work and they don't make much sense. The first two that I shared with you in the previous segment, one of them was the paradox that all of the great fortunes, the people who have made the most money, are people like the Carnegie family, the Rockefeller family, the Buffett family, Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates. They've made their fortune by owning a stock, one single stock. And individuals want to also buy individual stocks, thinking that they too could become rich. That is highly unlikely. In fact, the best advice is for you not to buy individual stocks at all, but to buy a broadly diversified collection of mutual funds, whether they're index funds, whether exchange traded funds, or whether they're actively managed mutual funds. You get professional money management. You get diversification of securities in your portfolio. You have easy liquidity, and you might even get some dividends along the way. But it's interesting how many people think, oh, if I could just buy the next big stock, that's going to make me rich. You're wrong. That will be a loser's game. That's the paradox. Paradox number two. We often talk about the fact that today the stock market is near an all-time high, and some would argue that it's overvalued. Who's to say what overvalued is? Could the stock market go from where it is around now in the 29,000s, that's the Dow Jones Industrial Average, to somewhere around 35,000? Could it? Sure. And what if, and then at 35,000, remember, when Donald Trump came into office, I think the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial, was around 18,000. It's now gained more than 10,000 points, 11,000 points. Could it gain even more? Sure, it could. But if it went to 35,000, would we then say it's overvalued? And what if it pulled back 10% and dropped 3,500 points from 35,000 down to 3,150? Would people be scared? Would people now say that the market is overvalued? Oftentimes when markets pull back, they're still more overvalued than what they were when they were down before. I think we have to be careful about using the fact that the market is overvalued, because you have to ask yourself this question. Do you anticipate the market being higher 3 years, 5 years, or 10 years from now than where it is today? And if the answer is yes, then why would you even think about ever getting out of the market, even if the market suggested it was going to see a pullback? Because if you did that, you also have to know when to get back in. And if it's going to be higher than where it is today, why not just go for the ride and deal with that? That's one of the challenges that we see. If you think the market's going in the other direction, if you think 3 years from now we could be exactly where we are today or worse than where we are today, then why are you investing in the stock market? You're actually betting against yourself, betting against your own gut. Do you want to do that? So I want you to think about that. When you're thinking about investing, whether it's in stocks, bonds, I don't care what the collection of your portfolio looks like, though if you work with us, we'll certainly help you to develop what the right one is for your situation. But I want you to think about the fact, if you don't believe that the market will be higher 3, 5, and 10 years from now, actually, I'd forget the three. How about 5 and 10 years from now? If you believe it's going to be higher, then why bother to get out? And if you believe it's going to be higher, why not invest right now? Why? Because, oh, well, I'll wait till it pulls back 10%. I can tell you there are times, more often than not, people are say they will invest when the market pulls back. And frankly, they just don't do it. They get too scared. Here's another paradox. Many of us make our plans, our retirement plans, our financial plans, based on the understanding of what the rules are today. And yet, Congress can change the rules on us whenever they want. And they just did it at the end of this year. in previous shows, I've been talking about the new Secure Act. The Secure Act talks about some changes, especially that will impact retirees. It changes the year in which you can take your minimum distribution. No longer do you are you required to take money at age 70 and a half. You can now wait until age 72 to take your first minimum distribution. Now, some people might say, well, I need the money anyways. I got to take it. That's fine. But for those that don't, you just bought yourself another year and a half of allowing your money to grow tax deferred. A nice little feature. But here's on the other side, here's what also happened. You've thought to yourself, well, I want to leave money to my children through my IRA. And maybe, well, let's just use the number, you have $500,000 in your retirement plan. Let's say you're 80 years old or 70 years old. You have $500,000 in your retirement plan and you want to leave your money to your three children. It used to be that each of your three children would receive what was called a beneficiary IRA, one third of the value of your IRA, and it would go into what's called a beneficiary IRA account where the children would have to take a small fraction of what they need from the portfolio and an amount that represents their lifetime. So let's say there was a 50-year-old that needed the money. They might have to take maybe 2% of the money. They were a beneficiary of the IRA. They'd have to take 2% of the value. No big deal. Even a 65-year-old who inherited the money, they might have to take 4% of the value. No big deal. But now the rules have changed. If you're a non-spouse beneficiary, if you're a child, or just somebody else that wasn't the spouse of the person who died, you have an obligation. You have to take all of the money from the IRA that you've inherited within 10 years. Now, you don't have to take the money right away. You don't have to take it. But you will have to take it all by the end of 10 years, and all of it's going to be taxable to you. Are you prepared for that? That screws up a lot of plans. People that were planning on qualifying for financial aid, think about this. If you were trying to position your income and your assets so that you would qualify for financial aid when your child was getting ready to go to college, and then mom or dad happens to pass away and they've left you this IRA and you need to start taking distributions from it, how is that going to impact your qualification levels? Do we need to do something different? What if you've named your distributions to a trust? There are some rules around that. Lots of things change. It messes it all up. You need to be aware. And are you getting the right advice? Are you working with a financial advisor who's being proactive, is letting you know about the Secure Act and how that might be impacting your retirement plans? We've gone through three paradoxes of the seven, and I'm going to try to blast through the final four in the fourth segment of our show. We've got to take a quick break. But just before we go, I want to remind you about Planning Pointers. This is our weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. It lands in your mailbox every Friday morning at 10:30. Go to the bottom of any page on my website. Put in your name, your email address. If you want to send me a message, you're welcome to do that. But you will get signed up for Planning Pointers, and I promise you this. That's all you'll hear from me. You won't be getting me we won't be calling you and soliciting you for an appointment at the office or anything like that. If it's something that you'd like to do when you're ready, we would love to meet with you. We'd be happy to talk with you. No cost or obligation to sit down and talk with us. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, like I said, more paradoxes on investing principles. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the Secure Act into law. It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, and schedule your free initial consultation.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
You're going too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant and 41 Cross Street in Peabody. I hope you're all doing well. Hey, I wanted to let you know about an event that's coming up in a couple weeks. I was promising the kids I would do this. So, you know, look, high schools in the area, I know we're a local radio station. I want to tell you about some local things. North Andover High School is doing a production of the musical Footloose on February 6th, 7th, and 8th at the high school. I know it's a little early to let you know, a couple weeks ahead of time, but it is going to, it's a great show. They have an amazing drama guild over at North Andover High School. I am somewhat giving a little shameless plug because my son Noah has the lead in Footloose, and my son Corey also is playing a character in the show as well. But I know it's going to be a great show. I know we're going to have the Linda Schoenmaker, who is the director of this show. We're going to have her on the morning show just before Footloose appears. I think she'll be on February 6th on the radio station with Donnie and Erica. So we're looking forward to that. And I just encourage you, if you have nothing to do on February 6th, 7th, or 8th, take a visit over to the North Andover High School. Come see Footloose. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Another thing that I wanted to tell you about, I saw a great show at the Palace Theater. And I know they've been talking about this on the radio station. I'm not sure if they're in town much beyond next weekend, but there was a show called Piano Man. It appeared at the Manchester, at the Palace Theater in Manchester, New Hampshire. I got to tell you, I thought it was an amazing, amazing show. Now, I'm a big fan of Billy Joel and Elton John and all of the great piano players that have been out there that are, you know, rock and roll kind of pop music piano players. They did this tribute to all of these great musicians. There was dancing, there was dueling pianos, there was individual piano playing, a full band that was up there. The audience was so into the show. Oh my God, were they into the show. I would strongly encourage you, if you have a chance, if you haven't gone yet, there might even be a show today. Take a look. Go to the Palace Theater. I think it's palacetheater.com. Check it out. Go see Piano Man. What a fabulous, fabulous show. All right. I promised you when we got back, we would do a power run through the remaining paradoxes that we talked about, paradoxes around investment advice. We talked about the first three. I'm not going to repeat them again since we have done that in the past segment, but let's go to paradox number four. Here's a paradox that I find kind of interesting. It's the paradox that we base our financial plans and our financial decisions based on historical averages. We look at stock market performance. We look at what interest rates have been in the past. We look at inflation rates. We look at what the job market might be. And we try to think, what has it been so that we can prepare for the future? Well, one of the things that I've learned over my 29 years of doing this in the business is the fact that when we hear about averages, we have to ask ourselves, are the averages representative of us? When you hear about average income in America and you say, geez, the average household in America, average household, family of four, makes $53,000 a year. Would you consider that average for your town, for your neighborhood, for the environment that you're in? Probably not. You know why? Because we live in Massachusetts, and that average is even higher. In Massachusetts, that average is closer to $64,000. But you might say $64,000, that's all for an average household income of four people? Well, let's now move to Beverly or to Danvers or to Manchester or to Peabody or wherever. If you start to look at our area communities, the average household income here is anywhere between $80,000 and $100,000. But when we're watching the NBC Nightly News, when we're reading stories in the Wall Street Journal or the Boston Globe, and we're talking about averages, average of income, average of spending, average of anything, what the average coffee drinker consumes, what the average drinker consumes, we're not the average, folks. We're far from the average. So when you're looking at making decisions on investments, should you be using average historical numbers? What the average return was, the average inflation rate was, the average anything was? You have to look at it to your situation. That is so critically important. Many people will ask me, how am I doing compared to my neighbors? How am I doing compared to the average retiree? Well, there is no average retiree. I can tell you what the average looks like in my office, and it's a pretty wide scope. Here's what the typical average client looks like in my office. They are between the ages of 55 and 75. They're between the ages of 55 and 75. That's average. So there's a big bunch of them. That's probably 60% of our clients. in retirement, they hope to spend between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. So that's anywhere from, I don't know, 5 times 12 is $60,000 to $120,000 a year. There's a big range there, right? When they have money, money that they have collected, their net worth, generally investable assets, our typical clients have between $500,000 and $2 million. And when you tack on the value of the house and some other things that they might have, it could be closer to $3 million. But $500,000 to $3 million, that's a lot of money, right? But is that average? Certainly not the average when you're thinking about the average that they talk about on the NBC Nightly News, or that the average that you read about in various publications that come across in your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed. When we're meeting with you, when you're trying to do your financial planning, it is absolutely essential that you forget about the averages and you understand what's necessary for your life. We have clients in our office that will say, Mark, I couldn't imagine spending more than $3,000 a month for everything that I have. Why would anybody need to spend much more than that? And then there are others that will say, I couldn't imagine spending less than $20,000. So I've talked to you about our average being between $5,000 and $10,000. But yeah, there are other people on the extremes. What I'll tell you more than anything else, what you need to be asking yourself is, do you carry debt? And yeah, many people say, well, I don't carry debt, I just have a mortgage. Folks, mortgage is debt. I'm sorry, it is debt. Now, that's not to say it's bad debt, and I don't mind you carrying a mortgage. But if you're carrying balances on your credit cards, if you're carrying student loans after being out of college for 20 years, if you're carrying auto loan payments that are higher than normal, if you're refinancing your home so that you can roll in your old credit card and equity loans, that's not good. What we have to be doing is building plans to get that down. All right, let's talk about a couple more paradoxes. There's this paradox that says that attracts us to the prestige of being part of high-cost colleges. Why is it that everybody wants to be able to boast that their son or daughter is attending a high-profile school? When you really think about it, when you really sit down and look at what the costs are, what the return on investment might be, a low-cost state school can in many, 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 many cases provide an equal benefit and far less worry when you get out of college. I'm talking about these seven paradoxes that were written by a gentleman by the name of Adam Grossman. He writes a blog for a website that's called The Humble Dollar that is basically authored and overseen by Jonathan Clements, who used to be the personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. I think some of these paradoxes are really, really important. Here's the last paradox. Here's paradox number six. There's a paradox that early retirement seems so appealing. People say, I want to retire so early. For some, it's even turned into this new trend that exists in America. It's this acronym that appears. It's called FIRE, F-I-R-E. Perhaps you've read it. If you get, Money Magazine or Kiplinger's or the AARP Magazine or Next Avenue, you'll hear about this acronym called FIRE, F-I-R-E. In fact, Susie Orman sometimes talks about it. FIRE stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early. There are many people that say, well, I'm trying to save up as much money as I can, accumulate as much wealth as I can before I'm 45 so that I can then retire early. Some people do have the good fortune of landing with a startup that puts them in a situation where they have enormous wealth in their 30s and 40s that they've never imagined before, and they could certainly easily live off that money. But most people will tell you, those that have attempted this retire early strategy realize that things cost money. And just because you might have accumulated $500,000 at 45 years old does not mean that you can now retire comfortably. Remember, when you're not working, you have to pay for your own health care. You still have to pay for utilities. You still have to keep yourself busy. And that requires, whether it's entertaining yourself, whether it's purchasing food and other goods, that's a long time to wait until Social Security might kick in and provide some money to you. It's a long time to wait until you get an inheritance, perhaps from the generation before you. The whole FIRE strategy sounded really impressive, and we hear a lot about it because the market has done so well for so long. But folks, there's a lot of people that are going to be looking to go back to work. The market is going to adjust. It's going to reset itself. Yes, it will go on to new highs in the future, but we cannot continue to move in one trajectory of just up all the time. We are growing more and more complacent around what happens when things aren't going so well. I will tell you this, it's my own personal opinion. Do I think the market is still poised to continue to do well this year? Yeah, I do. And here's the reason why. Right now, it does not appear, and this is my own opinion, that there is any competition coming from the Democratic side to beat President Trump right now. Whether you like him or not, I think the market is telling us that they have a very strong belief that Donald Trump will be reelected in November of 2020. Now, I know that's what people may not want to hear, and they might say, well, we got to get out. We got to get out and vote. We got to make a change. Well, I think what people are waiting for, even those that want to vote Donald Trump out, would really like for the Democratic Party to find a candidate that steps up and they believe could actually beat Donald Trump. It's challenging. And the market is actually staring us all in the face and saying, we have no worries. Is this impeachment trial something that is going to impact the stock market? Well, if there's a smoking gun that appears in the next few weeks, perhaps, but no one seems to see that coming. If there's a terrorist attack, could that change the direction of the stock market? Absolutely, it could. If there's cyber terrorism, could that change the direction? Yes, that could do it too. But right now, this stock market is still poised to continue to run positively. Does it have to run, at a big 45-degree angle going up? No, but I think it's going to continue to grow even so slowly. And the final paradox that we're seeing is that the biggest worry that retirees have these days is outliving their money. And one way to avoid outliving your money is to create a pension for yourself. Some people refer to it as an annuity. A pension is essentially an annuity. It's something that guarantees you money for the rest of your lives. Yet one of the number one things individuals want to stay away from is annuities. Now, there's reasons why people might want them or don't want them, but the general sense is annuities, I don't want to go near those. Yet, the number one thing that people are concerned about in retirement is outliving their money. And an annuity might provide part of that as a solution to you. So I just think it's an interesting paradox. It's interesting questions. We are faced with a lot of conundrums as we approach our own personal level of retirement. It's time for us to rethink it. And if it's time for you to sit down with somebody who really wants to understand your overall situation, who really wants to give you a sense of where the big picture is, to crystallize all of the balls that you have juggling in the air and giving you a sense as to here is a path towards a potential future, give us a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We are here. We are ready to provide you financial advice in a language you can understand. Now is the time for you say, you know what? I just want to get a second opinion. I want to see if I'm doing this right. I just want to talk to somebody who will give me some perspectives and speak to me in a language that I can understand. Give us the opportunity to do that. Our phone number, once again, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. That's going to do it for me today. I wish you all a very happy Sunday, a wonderful week ahead. I'll be back again next week with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.